This is Alan Nass from Indiana. Welcome to the Mystery and Truth Bible Study Voice Room. As we continue the ministry of Barnabas Bagby to make all saints see the fellowship of the mystery revealed to the Apostle Paul after the end of Acts. Today is March 22nd, 2026. And you're going to love this message today. I did send out some slides by email. So if you want to follow along, if you're not on Zoom, you can check on your email for those slides. So let's start with a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heavenly places, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom program with Israel is postponed so that your will can be done with the nations on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you each day for our daily bread, which is your daily word. And thank you for the forgiveness by Christ's shed blood. As we forgive those who oppose themselves, lead them not in the way of deception, but deliver your elect from the power of darkness. For Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. Amen. You're going to love this lesson. Last time we talked about the things that were the changes that took place at the cross and before the Acts began. And this is a piece of a puzzle that we're working on here, looking at the overall picture of Paul's total ministry. We're on Zoom here in this talk for some of us, and he's zooming in on each particular verse of Paul's ministry. And I like to zoom out. So this lesson, we're going to zoom out and we're going to look at Paul's overall ministry. He had two ministries and two mysteries. And that's the title of this lesson, Paul's two ministries and two mysteries. We are so privileged to be given such deep truth. Ronnie was talking about ideology. We have the best ideology in the world that the world does not know, and that is truth in Christ. For 2,000 years, man has been trying to figure out this book, this Word of God, this Bible. And hold on, my slides aren't advancing. There we go. So I liken to this as a puzzle. Would you open up a box and a puzzle, and you take out the bag and you rip open the bag and dump the pieces on the table? You have what? You have, this is what people see the Bible as, just a whole bunch of pieces. How do you figure this out? Well, it's understandable because the Bible has 66 books, 1,189 chapters, and 31,102 verses. So it's understandable why it's hard to grasp what this book is all about. And we're still working on it. We're getting better at figuring it out. So what I do when I work a puzzle, and I've done many, I love puzzles, I will start with those flat pieces. Those pieces there with the flat edges, because those are the outline of the puzzle. So I pull all those flat pieces out, and I will start working the puzzle from the outside. And then I'll start rightly dividing the rest of the pieces on a certain object or a certain color or a certain scheme where I can start to fit things together piece by piece. And eventually you end up with the total picture of what's going on. And even if you didn't have a picture of what the puzzle looked like, you could still do it because you're looking at things that are similar. And this is a picture with, like the, Africa with giraffes and elephants and zebras and all kinds of things. So you can take pieces that look similar and you can start piecing those together and fill in as you go on. So this is how I study the Bible in any way. And the reason we study the Bible is because as the body of Christ, our ultimate purpose is in Ephesians 3:10, as Paul says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the called out, the manifold wisdom of God. So we are the called out. And if I'm going to have to make manifold the wisdom of God to these principalities and powers in heavenly places, I've got to know this book. I've got to understand what it says. Amen? So, another verse, 1 Timothy 2:3 and 4, says that God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and come unto the full knowledge of the truth. So you're going to notice a theme here that has to do with understanding, knowledge, and truth. In Colossians 1, 9 through 10, says that we might be filled with the knowledge of all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, the Bible isn't about religion, it's not about Christianity, it's not about church. It's about knowledge and understanding and knowing God, and knowing the knowledge of God is what we are to do. Because Jesus said in John chapter 4, 23 to 24, that to the woman at the well, he said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, how? In spirit and in truth. He just told her, there's going to come a day where you're not going to worship in that mountain or in this temple. You're not going to worship in a place. You're going to worship the Father in spirit and truth. Why? Because the Father seeks such to worship Him. What does that mean, worship in spirit and truth? You're going to worship inside yourself, inside your heart and your mind, in spirit and truth. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Notice the word shall and must in those verses, John 4, 23 through 24. So this truth is the basis of our worshiping God. In 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So these studies that we do on this voice room, Barnabas's Mysterious Truth, these are the deep things of God. We're not just on the fluffy surface. We're getting down to the deep things of God. This is what Ronnie was talking about earlier in his study, the deep things. We're getting down to the deep things of God. A lot of people say, oh, we don't go that deep. Well, you should, because that's where it's at. 2 Timothy 2:15 is a key verse that we use in our ministry. Study. Study means to make haste. Be diligent. Make haste. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman. It's going to take work. That needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When I'm working my puzzle, that's work. I don't like to leave it. It's hard for me to walk away from that puzzle until I get so tired I can't do it. But when I start a puzzle, I'm not comfortable until I get that thing finished. And I'll spend 2 or 3 hours there working that thing. And sometimes there are 2, 3, 4,000 piece puzzles. And it's work. You got to spend time in the Word to see things that God is going to teach you. The more time I spend in the Word, the more He shows me, the more He reveals to me. It's serious business, and We love it. We love The Search. It's the greatest mystery thriller ever written, this Word of God. So the more rightly divided truth of God we know and acknowledge, the better we can worship Him in His truth and to best know His calling for us. So we're going to rightly divide today Paul's 14 epistles. He wrote 7 epistles, I believe, in the Acts period, and he wrote 7 epistles in the post-Acts period, after the Acts ended. For some of you, and when you were going to church, you probably never heard that term, post-Acts. For 50 years, I never heard that term in church, post-Acts. So the way I see it, Paul wrote in the Acts period, his first epistle was Galatians. He wrote 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and Hebrews, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Romans. And nobody knows exactly the order, but that's pretty close. And in his post-Acts epistles, Paul wrote 1 Timothy, Titus, Philippians, Philemon, Ephesians, Colossians, and 2 Timothy. So we're going to look at these two, and we're going to rightly divide these two sets of epistles of Paul. And we're going to focus more today on the Acts side of that division. Now, the Acts period, we call things on the earth, and the post-Acts are things above. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. I think Paul is telling us that as members of the body of Christ, we should pay attention to the things in the post-Acts writings, things above. So first we have, in the Acts period, Jesus was rejected. We know that in the Gospels, they crucified him. The religious leaders rejected the teachings of Jesus, was opposing their religion. And at the end of the Acts period, they rejected Christ, the risen Lord, as their Messiah, as preached by Paul. And then we have changes before the Acts, which we spent an hour on last week, that happened when Christ died on the cross, all the changes that took place. And then we had the changes after the Acts. And those we studied before, we won't go through them now, but there were several changes that happened after the Acts ended in God's administration. And so we have Paul's Acts ministry, and we have Paul's post-Acts ministry. So Paul had two ministries. In the Acts period, Israel was given a second chance to accept Christ as their Savior after they had crucified him. This was an answer to the Lord's prayer on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then at the end of Acts, Israel, when Christ was rejected by Israel, Israel was set aside. Temporarily, but they're set aside, and still are today. And in the post-Acts period, we have the revelation of a mystery made manifest to his saints, as it says in Colossians, and we've studied that for years and years, ever since it was brought to the forefront and to light by our beloved Charles Welch and Oscar Baker. And today we're going to look at the revelation of a mystery in Acts period, made known to all nations. And each of these mysteries have many sub-mysteries included in them. So there were many things that were brought about that we didn't know before in each of these two mysteries. So today we're going to focus on the Acts side of this, Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Hebrews, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Romans. So we're going to take a look at those as a group together. What is Paul saying in this whole group of 7 epistles? What's his overall theme? What is he trying to get across? Well, it starts off telling us that in Acts 9:15, Paul's mission given by the Lord. And the Lord said to Ananias, "Go thy way, for Paul is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Well, if you think about it, that includes everybody in the world. Because if you're not Israel, you're a Gentile. And both Gentiles and Israel had their kings. And if you read Acts 4:27, Paul, it says, I forget who said it, probably Peter, that those gathered together against Christ were the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. They were all the ones who were responsible for ending the life of Jesus on this earth. Another interesting observation, if you look at the Acts period, in Acts 8:27, we have the conversion of an Ethiopian who's a descendant of Ham. In Acts 9:5, we have a conversion of Saul, who's a descendant of Shem. And in Acts 10:1, we have Cornelius. He was converted, and he was a descendant of Japheth. So what is God telling us here? That actually, you know, salvation is open to everybody in the world, if you look at it from that standpoint. So let's take a look at Paul's very first chapter in his very first epistle. So he starts right off the bat writing that I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, it's the revelation from Jesus Christ, because John wrote about the revelation of Jesus Christ, so we don't want to get confused by what Paul was talking about there, because by this time, I think he'd already met John, who wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 12:1, Paul said, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." So many people think the post-Acts revelation was the revelation, you know, the revelation of the mystery. Well, Paul started off with revelations, and when his ministry started in Galatians and back in Damascus, this is where he was getting his initial revelations. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." So there's no doubt that in the Acts period, there were revelations given to Paul. In 1 Corinthians 2:7, he says, "But we speak in the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." So what is a mystery? Well, it's defined right there in that sentence. It's hidden wisdom of God, a mystery. So Paul is speaking in the Acts period in mystery. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Paul says, "Let a man so account of as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So here Paul is pointing out that what he is teaching were things that were revealed to him that nobody knew before, especially before Christ died. These are mysteries of God that Paul is revealing. So we have revelation in Acts, we have the mystery in Acts, we have nations, everybody. This is for everybody, not just Israel, nations. Now here's a verse that has given me a lot of trouble over the years to understand. And I know that if you have a companion Bible, there is a longer note on the page of this last, the verses in Romans by Bullinger. He was trying to fit this, somehow this revelation of the mystery to the mystery of the body of Christ in the post-Acts. I know Welch had much to say about this, these verses, you know, this revelation of the mystery and how this, they're trying to figure this out, because even in Bullinger's companion Bible, which is the mid-Acts Bible, he has Romans in the structure of the post-Acts books, which is, I don't agree with. So Romans 16, 25 through 27 reads like this. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So here we have Paul is summarizing what the whole book of Acts was about. The whole, his teaching of the book of Acts was about. His seven epistles, the revelation of the mystery. What is that mystery? And it's made known not just to Israel, all nations, for the obedience of the law. No, obedience of the faith. Go back to Romans first chapter, the opposite end of Romans, verses 1-6. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. So that was all, you know, about the whole plan of the Old Testament. This is coming to fruition. For what? For the obedience to the faith among all nations. Not just Israel. For the obedience of faith among all nations. Now go back. What did he say in Romans 16:27? Made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. It sounds similar, doesn't it? For his name's sake. Among whom are all, he also called of Jesus Christ in Romans 1, 6, verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, all that be in Rome. So Paul was talking to the Romans, not just Jews in Romans, but Gentiles as well. All of them that are beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so we have revelation, mystery, all nations. We're going to add faith in there. It's part of the mystery. Faith. But what is Paul saying about faith in the Acts period? In Galatians 2, again, his first epistle, 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Who is he saying this to? He was talking to Peter. He was talking to Peter, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, you and I, Peter, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Ooh, not by the works of the law? Wow, that's a big change. Ooh. And then Paul says in Galatians 3:11, in his first epistle, he started off saying, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Well, where did he get that? Well, he got that from Habakkuk. And Habakkuk prophesied, the just shall live by faith. But nobody knew what that meant. Maybe faith in God. like those in chapter 11 of Hebrews, all those faithful, you know, Moses and all them, maybe they thought the just shall live by faith in God, but no, this is faith in Jesus Christ. Could be both, but now is changed. In Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Romans 1:16, for the third time he says it, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Everyone that believeth. To the law, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For there is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So maybe the faith was in God, but now is to the faith in Christ, revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. In Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That was one of the big changes we talked about last time at the beginning of Acts at the cross. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? So here we're talking about all nations. Everybody's included here in this justification by faith. So the just includes whosoever of any nation, whosoever. Galatians 3:22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin. Everybody's under sin, even those righteous Jews, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. All of them, whosoever that believe. A few verses later in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Greek nor Jew in Christ. If you believe in Christ, you're no longer what you were before. You're something different. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, in 1 Corinthians 12:13. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, one body. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, a new creature, a new creation. You're something new. You're not what you were before. Whether you were circumcised or not, you're something new in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things come into being. All things are become new. A new creature. Interesting. Again, in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, no matter who you are. First to the Jew, also to the Greek. See, I'm not making this up. I'm giving you scriptures. A lot of witnesses here of scripture, what is being said and done. Romans 3:30, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. That's everybody, and that's faith. So in the Acts period, we have revelation, a mystery. We have everyone is eligible. Faith in Christ. The just shall live by faith. And we have a new creature, a new creation, something totally new here. See, none of this was seen before in the Old Testament. You know, even in the Gospels, you know, this is something. It can be called a mystery because this is new stuff. This is stuff that wasn't known before is now being revealed by Paul in the Acts period of what's going on here with, because Christ died on the cross. He died, was buried, and resurrected on the third day, ascended into heaven at the right hand of his Father. So everything has changed. Everything has changed now. So Paul sums it up in Romans 16, 25 through 27, as we read before. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. This is a summing up of Paul's gospel in the Acts period. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since, not before, since the world began, but is now made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, we read about some of the stuff, but they didn't really figure out this is what it was all about. According to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Well, all nations didn't know the Old Testament, but doesn't matter. You know, Israel is supposed to be their witness. So this now is made known to everybody. And that's why we have scriptures today. That's why God preserved his word to make known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So now we've just focused on one piece of our puzzle, the revelation of a mystery made known to all nations, as opposed to the Acts period where there was a revelation of a mystery made manifest to his saints. It's a different mystery for a different purpose. Rightly divide the word of truth. So as I see it, and Ronnie talked about structures in his lesson today, and this is a structure given to me by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. We have Acts and post-Acts here. Revelation, revelation. We have a mystery, Acts, mystery, post-Acts. Acts, we had a new creation. Post-Acts, we have a new man. Acts, we had election since the foundation of the world, the post-Acts election before the foundation of the world. In Acts, we have Israel's olive tree. In the post-Acts, we have his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. For the olive tree, Christ is the root. His body, Christ is the head. He's talking about things on earth in the Acts period. And the post-Acts, things above. Where the hope in the Acts period is a heavenly city, the hope in the post-Acts period is a heavenly places. Sounds simple, doesn't it? So, we have many individual parts of this puzzle. We call the Bible, what we've done is we've just taken a quick look at two of those aspects of that big puzzle. We have two giraffes in this picture, a smaller giraffe and a larger giraffe. So you can take the pieces that look like a giraffe in this puzzle and start piecing them together, but you got to rightly divide them because they look different. They look, one's bigger and one's smaller, and they just look different, so you got to separate those pieces into two different piles to put these giraffes together. So, eventually when you get the whole picture figured out and you have a complete puzzle put together, you have the manifold wisdom of God that we have to teach principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to Paul. So my question I posed to you, just a thought I had going through this, was the entire book of Acts or the Acts period a mystery? You think about it, you know, the book of Acts wasn't even foreseen until Christ rose from the dead. And then he started talking to his disciples about their ministry to Israel. come on, guys, you gotta pull Israel together here. You got to give them a second chance to see who the Messiah was. So that sounds like a topic for another study. Was the entire Acts period a mystery? Or at least an expansion of the mysteries of the kingdom? Remember, Jesus spoke in parables because he said to his disciples, it's for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, and to them it is not to be made known. Interesting. So, as Oscar Baker used to say, don't take it from me, but search and see for yourself. Lord, I pray that this lesson will help make it clear to those who are interested in what Paul meant in Romans 16 by the mystery, the revelation of a mystery in the Acts period. We just thank you for any knowledge and insight you give us, Father. We take it to the bank and deposit it in our inheritance in heavenly places. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.